Parvate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, entitled The Ideal Family Life, Text 39. Drishtva tisham mito nrinam. Drishtva tisham mito nrinam. Avyajanatmatam nripa. Treta dishu harerarcha. Kriyayai kavivikrita. Drishtvati sammito nrinam avyajanatmatam nripa treta dishu harerarcha kriyayai kavivi krita drishtvati sammito nrinam avyajanatmatam nripa Treta dishu hare rachan, kriya yai kavivi krita. Please repeat. Drishtate somitoninam, avagyanatmatan ripam. Treta dishu hare rachan. Kriya ya krita vikritam. Krishna te shantoninam. Krita dishu hari racham. Kriya ya krita vikritam. Krishna te shantoninam. Vijnanamrtam Krita dishu hare racham Kriyayai kavivikritam Matayus, please. Krista tisham nitonrinam Avyayanat matan ripam Treta dishu hare racham Kriyayai kavivikritam Vrishate shantam ninam Avyanatmatam nripa Treta dishu hare racham Kriyayai kavivikritam Drishtva, after practically seeing Tesham among the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, Mittaha mutually, Nrinam of human society, Avagyana Atmatam, the mutually disrespectful behavior, Nripa, O King, Tetra Adishu, beginning from Treta Yuga, Hare, O the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Archa, the deity worship in the temple, Kriya Yai, for the purpose of introducing the method of worship, Kavivi, by learners, persons. Krita has been done. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Srivaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Kiji. My dear King, When great sages and saintly persons saw mutually the respectful dealings at the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship in the temple was introduced with all paraphernalia. So kindly repeat, my dear King, when great sages and saintly persons saw mutually the respectful dealings at the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship in the temple was introduced with all paraphernalia. Purport. As is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 3, verse 52, Krite ja jayato Vishnum, Tretayam jayato Makai, Dvapare parichayam, Kalauta dhari kirtanat. Quote, whatever result one obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifice, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, one can also obtain in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Quote. In Satya Yuga, every person was spiritually advanced, and there was no envy between great personalities. Gradually, however, because of material contamination with the advance of the ages, disrespectful dealings appeared even among Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Actually, an advanced Vaishnava is to be respected more than Vishnu. As stated in the Padma Purana, Aradhanam Sarvesam Vishnur, Aradhanam Param. Of all kinds of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is the best. Tasmat parataram devi tadijanam samarchanam. And recommended more than worship of Vishnu is worship of the Vaishnava. Formerly, all activities were performed in connection with Vishnu. But after Satya Yuga, there were symptoms of disrespectful dealings among Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is he who has helped others become Vaishnavas. An example of one who has converted many others into Vaishnavas is Narada Muni, a powerful Vaishnava who has converted others into Vaishnavas is to be worshipped. But because of material contamination, sometimes such exalted Vaishnavas is disrespected by others, minor Vaishnavas. When great saintly persons saw this contamination, they introduced worship of the deity in the temple. This began in Treta Yuga and was especially prominent in Dwapara Yuga. Dwapare Parichayam. Dwapare Paricharyayam. But in Kali Yuga, worship of the deity is being neglected. Therefore, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is more powerful than deity worship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set a practical example in that he did not establish any temple of deities, but he profusely introduced the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, Krishna consciousness preachers should give more stress to the Sankirtan movement, especially by distributing transcendental literature more and more. This helps the Sankirtan movement. Wherever there is a possibility to worship the deity, we may establish many centers, but generally, we should give more stress to the distribution of transcendental literature, for this will be more effective in converting people to Krishna consciousness. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Verse 47, Acharam eva haraye puyan ja sradaye hate na tad bhakte suchan yesu Savakta prakrita smitaha. A person who is very faithful engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not know how to behave towards the devotees or people in general, is called prakrita vakta or kanishta adhikari. A prakrita devotee or neophyte devotee is still on the material platform. He He certainly engages in worship, the deity, but he cannot appreciate the activities of a pure devotee. It has actually been seen that even an authorized devotee who is engaged in the service of the Lord by preaching the mission of Krishna consciousness is sometimes criticized by neophyte devotees. Such neophytes are described by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Sarva Prani Samananam Samartanam Avyaya Aspardadimatam Tu Bhagavat Pratimaiva Patrang Itiaha. For those who cannot properly appreciate the activities of authorized devotees, deity worship is the only way for spiritual advancement. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 7.11, it is clearly said, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. Without being authorized by Krishna, one cannot preach the holy names of the Lord throughout the entire world. Nevertheless, a devotee who does so is criticized by neophyte devotees, Kanishta Adhikaris, who are on the lower stage of devotional service. For them, deity worship is strongly recommended. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutare Srimate Virvaho Prabhuriti Namine Sri Sri Vrindata Virapada Pankaya Daine Prabhupada Nama Sri Virvaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutare Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauri Brahmani Prachanini Nivisesa Paschatere Satarini. Thank you everyone for attending Srimad Bhavatam class. So we almost end of this chapter. I think there is two or three more verses for finish this chapter. When Narada Muni is talking to Sri Yudhisthira about the dharma, the duties of the idle family life in order to achieve Krishna consciousness, when Srila Prabhupada came to the United States, when Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, he came with the mission in his heart, the order of his spiritual master, to preach the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And when he arrived in Boston on September 17, 1965, and he looked at the city, he immediately could understand the difficulty he was going to face by preaching this cult of Krishna consciousness. Out of feeling of humility and compassion for the fallen soul, he composed a historical prayer or poem after seeing this place, and in which he expresses his humility, and beginning when said, "My dear Lord Krishna," he said, "You are so kind to upon this useless soul," he said, "I don't know why you brought me here to this terrible place. How you see the vision of the Mahabharat? I remember when I came first to the United States in 1987. I was so amazed by the city and so delighted to see it. I say, oh, so much sense gratification is waiting for me." Because it's a big difference, you know, someone who is completely full of material desires and desire to enjoy compared to the Mahabhagavat. So he could see the fallen condition and of this civilization and the people in general. So I just paraphrasing the poem, but he continues saying, most of these people are under the influence of passion and ignorance, he says, absorbing material activities. How can I will be able to make him understand this message of Vasudeva? How could be able to understand this mellows of devotional service? So the end of the prayer, Prabhupada is saying that But you, my Lord, he said, you can make me dance. You brought me here to dance, you made me dance. Make me dance as you like. And then he said, I have no knowledge nor any devotion, he said. But I have complete faith in the Holy Name. So this Srila Prabhupada, after 2 days after that, he arrived in New York. And he started moving by chanting the holy names in the Tompkins Square Park. But gradually, when the followers start to come, he little by little introduced also deity worship. And one morning, walk, Prabhupada was saying that here in Los Angeles in 1973, that the deity worship make us safe from falling down, he said. But preaching, it was more important, especially book distribution. But if we only do book distribution, he said, there is always a chance to fall. So he said, deity worship and preaching go parallel. That is the train of bhakti runs in two tracks. That is Bhagavata Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi. So Bhagavata Vidhi refers to the nine process of devotional service beginning when hearing and chanting and also preaching. And Pancharatrika Vidhi is the process of deity worship. So the both tracks are necessary. If one is missing, he says, it's very difficult to progress in devotional service. One time, in Mayapur, when Prabhupada was in Mayapur, two sannyasis went to a temple and to take darshan of the deities. So they waved the pay obeisances. And the puyari was a brahmana puyari, caste, brahmana by caste. So he approached to them and said, very nice, he said, very nice. If you continue like this, he said, maybe in the next life you will born as a brahmana. So the two sannyasis went to Prabhupada, I don't know who they were, and they told about the incident. So Prabhupada smiled and he told a story. He said that in a remote village it was an old lady. And he was entangling some quarrel of land possession that some of her relatives wanted to take it from her. So at that time, one British magistrate came to the village. And some advised to her to put this matter, to present this matter to the magistrate. So when she did so, the magistrate, ruler over in her favor and put the land on her name. So delighted, the old lady was so delighted and happy, and he wanted to bless the magistrate. And she said, "I bless you, and the next life, you become a police constable." So Prabhupada continues explaining that for these brahmanas, puyaris, they can only, for the old lady, he said, in her mind, he only could imagine that being a police was the highest position. So in the same way, he said, these brahmanas, these puyaris, they think that being brahmana is the highest position. They don't know the pure devotional service is higher than that. So this is an example of Kanishtha Adhikari. Kanishtha means younger, also means lowest. And Adhikari means position, besides other meanings. So literally means the lowest position in spiritual life or neophyte. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing, I think it's Rupa Goswami, in the process of worship. And he said, Shradavan Jana Haye Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyama Kanishta Shraddha Anusari. This means that the qualification for worship, the qualification for devotional service, the ingredient or the, we can say the substance or the essence is Shraddha, is faith. Faith, Shraddha, is the qualification to make one eligible to perform devotional service. And according to the degree to this Shraddha, one is classified in Uttama, first class, or Madhyama, second class, or Kanishta, neophyte, devotee. Rati prema tare manye, bhakti tare tama. It is said that according to the rati and prema, according to the attachment and love that a devotee to some degree has for devotional service, thus classifies in what position he is, either Uttama, Madhyama, or Kanishta. So these Kanishta Adhikaris, Prabhupada usually, I just can understand that is in connection with some Puyaris in India. I don't know exactly if in ISKCON there is only any Prakrita materialist devotee, except myself. But basically, this Prabhupada's teaching put immediately the position of very high, actually, in consciousness, even from the beginning. So it's very so powerful, but devotional service is so powerful. And this beginning with Shraddha, Adau Shraddha Tata, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya Nivritti, Anartha Nivritti. He said this Shraddha actually is a personal energy of Krishna. And she is a Devi. This is in Rig Veda. He says she is a goddess. And when Shraddha descends to the material world, become perverted by the three modes of material nature. And the Bhagavad Gita is explaining this in the chapter 17 about the different types of faith. But in the 11th canto, when Krishna is instructing Uddhava, he said that Swatiki Adhyatmika Shraddha karma strada tu rajasi tamasya dharme ja shadra mat sevanam nirguna tu nirguna. That he said when this shraddha is in the mode of goodness, lead us to the spiritual life. But since the mode of goodness in the material world is contaminated with the other modes, sometimes this worship of demigods is a selfish intention, so material motives. And the karma shraddha, the faith in fruitive activities, are the second position of the Shraddha, the second contamination. So we see how actually people have faith, everybody has faith in these material activities, how they're working so hard for this economic development. And then the other Shraddha is in tamas, that all sinful activities are done and very faithful. I didn't know this. You have to have faith and commit so much activities, sinful activities. And matsevayam tu nirguna. And this Shraddha, who is free from all this contamination, is pure devotional service. So Shraddha actually is only directed by Krishna. But when we become perverted, take all these ramifications, and it's misdirected to the different objects or goals. Srila Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur has explained in this in a very nice way. He was saying that the water has the natural tendency to go to the ocean. But when the water is go to some muddy pond, it becomes contaminated with germs and worms and many things. So the same way, this water of the faith on our hearts become contaminated with anarthas. Excuse me. Anarthas basically means, and artha basically is, most of the time it's translated economic development, but it also means faith or something valuable. And the prefix a, it expresses the negativity or the opposition, the opposite meaning of the word. So anartha means something that is worthless, something bad, something that is unwanted, unnecessary. Srila Prabhupada explained that these four sinful activities are anarthas. That's one example. And like the word ananga, for example, anga means limbs or means body. Ananga means bodiless or incorporeal or without body. Those who have second initiation understand that in the last line of the Gayatri Mantra is ananga prachodayat. Who is ananga? Somebody knows? He referred to Cupid, Kamadev, Ananga, Tanno Ananga, Cupid, Kamadev. Ananga is Kamadev. But in the Gayatri Mantra, it refers to Krishna, the transcendental Cupid. Because the story is that one time there was a demon called Taraka. This demon has two benedictions for Lord Brahma. And one of them was he was become so powerful that he conquered all the demigods. And the other benediction was he only could be killed in the hands on one son of Lord Shiva. And it happened so that at that time, Sati, incinerated herself, you know, by self-immolation. And Lord Shiva, and what is, you know, the story happened, right? Lord Shiva sent his servant, this demon, to kill all these in Dakshas, and the Dakshas sacrifice, fire sacrifice, Dakshas place. And after that, Lord Shiva made his mind never to get married. Right? Sometimes that happens with many people, huh? Never gonna get married when they have some bad experience, but a few times later, they get married again. So he decided not to get married, and he went to meditation. In the meantime, this Taraka demon was giving so much trouble to the demigods, and the demigods approached Kamadev and asked him to go to do something to entice Lord Shiva's lusty desires in order to get married again. So Kamadev was afraid because he knew the temper of Lord Shiva, and he was thinking that Lord Shiva may kill him, but the demigods threatening him to curse him, he doesn't go to there. So he said, rather be killed by Lord Shiva than being cursed by the demigods. So he went, and Lord Shiva was in meditation, and he shot his arrow of love or lust. And then Lord Shiva opened his third eye, and he burned into ashes. So Revati was there. And Revati started to plead to Lord Shiva to please bring it to life, because, you know, she explained the whole matter. So Lord Shiva, okay, I will bring it to life, but only you be able to see him. So he become like a ghost. And that's what is called Ananga, because without body, nobody could see him because he returned but without material body. And after that, it is said that in the Krishna book that he was born as Prayuna, the son of Rukmini and Krishna. Anyway, this is another story. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti continues saying that this contaminated Shraddha, he said, is but if a torrent of rains fall down and inundate this pond, muddy pond, the water naturally overflow and go and join to some river and become clear. And the river's going to bring it to the ocean. So he was saying that the same way when a devotee who his faith is contaminated by the contact of the sadhu sangha or by hearing the sadhu Krishna Katha is like a pouring down on his heart. But this depends on the attitude of the devotee. Therefore, we see some different stages or different, continues at the devotee. We see how the devotees are faster than others, become more advanced than others. You see how like about 20 years here, and some bhakta they are more advanced than me, like this bhakta is so far up, you know, because the shraddha is very strong, and probably he brings from the previous life. So the bhakti, this shraddha runs, he said, in one special car, and this is sadhu sangha. But this attitude is when we hear Krishna katha, the shraddha depends when the message entering one ear go to the lodge to the in the heart. So in that word, it takes so much way to purity. But if we don't hear properly, it's just entering one ear and come out the other. Most of the time that happened with me. Therefore, is the advancing of Krishna consciousness so slow. And there is a nice story that Niranjana Swami told to Bhakti Vijnana Swami. So what happened that there's one Mataji who, she was about 90 years old, this Prabhupada disciple, and she used to live alone in her house, and she had a stroke. So somebody found her on the ground, on the floor, and took her to the hospital. When she regained consciousness, she forgot everything. Usually that happens when somebody has a severe stroke. She forgot everything, even how to eat, how to dress. She forgot her name, who she was, where did she live. Everything she forgot. So they told him to Niranjana Swami. And Niranjana Swami wanted to call her. And he said, I'm going to make a call anyway, he said. So she called to the hospital. And went to the room, the phone room that she was staying. And somebody was taking care of her there. That thing was some devotee. And he said, her name was Isha. And said, Isha, he said, Niranjana Swami is calling you. So she immediately just grabbed the phone and started to sing the melody of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then she was shocked. And Niranjana Swami was amazed. And then at the end she said, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. She didn't remember absolutely anything except that. So days after that, Niranjana Swami went to visit her. And there was some therapy who was teaching to her how to eat. And then I said, you know what? This is called food, and you take it, and you bring it to your mouth. Oh, really, really, really? Yes, it's like that. Oh, okay. And then another therapist came and started to ask him some questions, you know, trying to refresh their memory. He said, Isha, where do you live? His Carmen name was Edith. Edith, where do you live? I said, huh? Where do you live? And she said, I live in Vrindavan. And the therapist didn't know what Vrindavan is. He said, where? He said, Chicago? He said, no, Chicago. He said, Vrindavan. And then Niranjan Swami was surprised. And he said, wow, so this is the proof, he said, that Sraddha is actually internal. The Krishna consciousness is internal. It's nothing external. She didn't remember anything else, but that one he never forget. She was speaking like a, you know, he in her Swarupa. That was he's living in Vrindavan. And then, so this is actually a science. Krishna consciousness science is no matter of that blind faith, as the Prabhupada said. You know, because the atheists, the science atheists, they said that we believe in God for faith. But actually, I don't have any faith in scientists, to tell you the truth. Whatever theory they come with, I just completely don't have absolutely any faith on them. The only scientist who have faith in Drutta Karma Prabhu, nobody else. My God, these scientists are really... So this Sraddha, to end this, this is the proof. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema Kavunaya, Sravanadi, Sudha Chitte, Uda Kare Udaya. That by hearing and chanting, we start to remember our natural Sraddha and Krishna consciousness, and the original consciousness, that we suffer from the stroke from when we fall down from the spiritual world. So it's very important. This sadhu sangha is the most important in this process of Krishna consciousness, arousar hatata. Because from the sadhu we can clean our heart and develop full faith in Krishna, and in this way we can attain perfection. Even though we become uttamadikaris, but at least we will become nice devotees. Thank you so much. If there is any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Radha Kripa Kataksha Prabhu, thank you for a very nice class. Just wanted to touch on one point you made about how different hearers respond when they hear the shower of Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And some progress more quickly than others. But there's another very important fact. It depends on who you're hearing from.
Yes, that's right.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think, made one statement that if the person who's speaking has a pure heart, then the message will go to your heart. But if the person who's speaking is not pure, then it stops at your ear. It doesn't go any further.
Oh, I guess there's some problem in the class.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a pure heart.
So... that's why in ISKCON we stress hearing from the Samstapakacharya Srila Prabhupada. I may have doubts about you, you may have doubts about me, but we don't doubt Prabhupada. Nobody should doubt Prabhupada. Yes. So we always stress, no matter who you are, you could be sannyasi or you could be neophyte devotee, everybody has to hear from Prabhupada. And when you hear from Prabhupada, then it will go to the heart. Otherwise, you may say exactly the same thing that Prabhupada is saying and it may not go any further than the ear.
Thank you so much. Banavata Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. It was a very nice class.
Thank you, Prabhu.
I just wanted to know if maybe you could address what Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport, because to me it appears to be a little bit of an apparent contradiction. I mean, I know you talked about how the process of Krishna consciousness runs on two tracks, Bhagavad Marg and Pancharatrika, deity worship. But in the first part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about how when the people started disrespecting others, because of that contamination, he said, therefore the chanting of Hare Krishna was introduced in Kali Yuga, and that it's more powerful than deity worship. And in the second part of the last part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that let me see if I can find it here. He says, for those who cannot properly appreciate the activities of authorized devotees, deity worship is the only way for spiritual advancement.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm surprised he didn't say chanting the Hare Krishna mantra would be the only way, since previously he's saying that it's more important than
yes.
deity worship. I wonder if you could.
Because the chanting Hare Krishna is of course accompanied by some lifestyle. And these lifestyles is include deity worship. Because we see, I don't know who was saying one time, that there are many people who chant Hare Krishna, but they don't have a devotional life. They only are attracted by the chanting, but they commit all kinds of sinful activities. And therefore, this chanting Hare Krishna has to be accompanied by lifestyle. And this is include the five items of, this is describing the nectar of devotion, that the five main, this describes 64, but the first five are the most important, that living in the temple and worship the deities, sadhu sangha and studying the Bhagavatam and worship the deities. So these are included. So because in devotional service, the chanting Hare Krishna is pure by itself, but it has the the potency, the pure potency is revealed or is full manifest when all these processes are followed. But Prabhupada is look contradiction, but it's not contradiction. You know, the chanting Hare Krishna is so powerful, but as I said before, he has to introduce deity worship in order to ensure the devotional service can be progressed very nicely for the neophyte devotees. I don't know exactly what your question is. There is some contradiction there?
No, I mean, I think my understanding is the importance of deity worship is that it because we're all impersonally contaminated, therefore by adding the deity worship, then it helps us to understand that Krishna actually has a form and therefore will improve our chanting also and will help us in terms of respecting devotees, since we can understand from the deity worship, we get the benefit of being blessed with the understanding that God is a person and that, you know, we respect more the personality of each person. That's my understanding.
All right.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you so much. There's one more behind you.
What Devamrita Swami was saying. I read the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says that one should not associate with devotee with Mayavadis, and we should not associate with those who associate with Mayavadis. Is this a part of Bhagavatam, or is it, you know, Prabhupada giving the purport saying that? Anyway, some of our initiated devotees in Sacramento, they are associating with Mayavadis. They're sending their children as well to the Mayavadis to learn how to sing Bhagavad Gita. So I was wondering if that would have any effect on us.
Yes, Lord Chaitanya specifically said that we should not associate with Mayavadis. Otherwise, your spiritual life become ruined. If you associate with Mayavadis or hear from Mayavadis. Yeah. Yes, Ram.
Yeah, this is a fact. It's very dangerous. I mean, the pure devotees, and there's so many instances in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they can associate with Mayavadis and bring them to the standard of devotional service. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was impersonalist number one, and Lord Chaitanya listened, you know, to him, but then he brought him up to the right standard, and so many other examples. But in a neophyte stage, it's poison. Therefore, that's verse, Vaishnava Makord Gudnam Kartam Harikatamritam. That milk is beneficial, but if it's touched by the lips of a serpent, because many times they say, well, it's Shastra, it's Bhagavad Gita. How could it be harmful? Yes, it is harmful if you're hearing from the wrong person. That's the same point I made earlier. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if the person who's giving you the knowledge is not pure, it's going to stop at the ear. It's not going to affect the heart. So you have to hear from a pure Vaishnava, not from these Mayavadis. They may chant Hare Krishna, they may even have deities, but if they're impersonalists at heart, it's going to poison you.
Thank you so much. Savas Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice class. I what, you know, after hearing different things and what you're saying, the devotees, and I think that's really important to understand how to worship the deity also, not by just mental speculation. There's a certain procedure, as you mentioned, there's five primary items. Yes. And, you know, in the material world, a lot of people say, like, you know, there's just people that are materialists that may say, well, there's many paths that lead to the same thing. You know, like there's many roads that you can take. You can take a shortcut. You can take this road, go over the hill, and you'll still get to the same place. So what's important in understanding this deity worship is that it's not just by any method that you wish, that you think or mentally speculate. And I thought that was a very important issue to present, because today, when you talk to someone, if you're on book distribution or you talk to an ordinary person, they'll tell you, well, yeah, I believe what you guys believe, but whatever I do is coming to the same thing. It all comes to the same place.
Yeah, many people like that.
You know, that we've all heard that. I mean, yeah. And I think that this is what's important about chanting Hare Krishna. If you chant Hare Krishna, then you understand how to properly serve and worship the deity. So they're combined in terms of Kali Yuga, that, yes, we have to chant the holy name and we have to worship the deity. But you can understand how to worship the deity properly by chanting Hare Krishna. Just like sometimes someone may be cooking for the deity and they'll concoct something. They'll say, well, okay, I want to make a health bar for Rukmini Dwarkadish. I know they'll like this. You know, how do you know they'll like this? I mean, where do we get that information from? Prabhupada says, make a laddu, make a sandesh, make rasgulla. And so we'll think, well, no, I'm going to do it like just do a date bar for the deities. And this is what I mean by chanting Hare Krishna properly. If we chant Hare Krishna properly, then we'll understand how to properly serve the Supreme Lord. Of course, by the assistance of a pure devotee. So I you know, I was just thinking, these are very important issues, because even today we have some people that are professing, well, what I'm going to do is going to go to the same place. I'm going to do this because I want to do this particular item, this particular thing. But it's all for Krishna. It ain't for me. Just like sometimes when I would go on Sankirtan, I'd meet a Christian, and they were saying, well, I'm playing tennis for Jesus. And by that activity of playing tennis, I'm going to understand Jesus. I mean, like, what does that mean? And so sometimes even as devotees, we think that we'll mentally speculate something. Well, I'm going to present Krishna consciousness this way, and it's going to go to the same place as you. There's no difference. I'm going to do it this way, though, but it's still going to... But how do we know? You know, what is it? If we properly chant Hare Krishna, then we really understand what the Acharya wants, the pure devotee of the Lord. And then we'll properly understand how to execute this preaching mission, how we should be properly preaching, how we should be worshiping the deity. Otherwise, everything's speculation. And we're just thinking that it's going to go to the same path, but we don't know. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yes, he said we have suffering from disease that we want to change everything, right?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.